What's up, Atlanta? Happy Friday with Turtle on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here with you for the full four, 6 to 10 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We have a jam-packed show for you on a Friday. We're going to have some fun as well. I'm seeing Fantastic Four on Sunday. A little nervous, although the guys behind the glass, Day-Day and Orin, are telling me it's getting good reviews. So hopefully, you know, I enjoyed Superman. Again, I gave it a 7.5 out of 10. If I get that out of Fantastic Four, especially with how bad the other two iterations have been over the last few years, I would take that. I'm not going in with incredibly high expectations. Except for maybe Wolverine and Deadpool, I haven't gone into a Marvel movie with high expectations and the newest Spider-Man in a long time. So I'm going to just enjoy, get some popcorn, and, you know, hope it's good. You know, I'm a Pedro Pascal fan.
You're saying
so why
it with
not?
The lady, you're saying it solo.
I'm seeing it with the lady and her family. We are now making this thing a tradition.
Another thing now, superhero movies with the family, huh?
And if you're wondering, yes, she did get matching outfits again for everybody. So we will all be sporting our Fantastic Four gear. So look for us at a theater near you on Sunday. I think it's going to be good. I'm not worried. I just don't have the same lofty expectations that I used to for these Marvel movies, because it's just tough. After Avengers Endgame, it's tough. And by the way, Orin, we're going to go through a list later that was put out to, quite frankly, all I think do was tick people off. Esquire put out their list of the 25 greatest superhero movies of all time. And my deducement of this list was that it was a list made for clickbait. It was a list made for rage bait. And it was a list made for the sheer fact of getting people dumb enough to fall for it like me to talk about it. So we'll break it down a little bit later in the show. The 25 greatest superhero movies of all time. To me, this list was atrocious. It was an abomination. And the person who came up with this list needs their film critic license revoked, because they simply did it, again, to make dummies like me who have a platform talk about it. Well, good job, Esquire. You win, because I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to talk about it positively. But I guess as the saying goes, much like in my industry, all news is good news. Just make the news. I don't care if people love you or hate you. Just be relevant, right? 404-726-0929. I'll tell you what else is relevant. Orin, do we have trouble in our wide receiver room already? Oh, boy. I don't know what to make of this, and I now can't wait until tomorrow's practice to come for it to be addressed. The Falcons made a move. They signed free agent wide receiver DJ Chark to come over on a one-year deal. And at first glance, you're like, okay, you look at the numbers, you look at the stats. He's almost identical to Darnell Mooney. He had one really good year, a couple of okay years, and he's just never popped consistently. Almost identical to Darnell Mooney. Well, ironically, he may have been brought in as a replacement for Darnell Mooney, because Darnell Mooney left yesterday's practice early, and we don't really know what's going on. Going to try to get the best I can out of Joe Patrick at 640, but I don't know if he has any more information than the rest of us do. But now they signed DJ Chark, and you're like, wait a minute. 1 + 1 = 2. Carry the one. Oh, no. Is Darnell Mooney going to miss some time, and this guy's coming in as an injury replacement? Oh, boy. So, unfortunately, alarm bells are starting to go off across Falcons Twitter and across the interwebs. But again, nothing has been made official yet. All we know is that Darnell Mooney left practice yesterday early. Orin, I would put this under the category of not good. But here's the thing, though. I know you can hold me to this accountably. I've been asking everybody we've had on if they thought the wide receiver room was deep enough. I've been asking that question for months, because I think they could use another guy. So if signing DJ Chark is just bringing in another guy with some high upside,
that's a plus.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's because of Darnell Mooney, that is not fine. That is not okay.
It's just when you kind of put, well, the dots haven't officially connected yet because we don't know the status of Darnell Mooney. But if you were to draw a line between the two dots right now, there's a line. It might be in pencil, so it could be a race. But you know, there's a line there between what happened yesterday in practice, him not returning to practice after the fall, and now DJ Chark being signed to the roster.
Unfortunately so. But that's not what I want to ask you about tonight. That's just something we're going to keep our eye on. Let's have a little fun, oh, shall we? It's a Friday. It's the summer. Camp's underway. We can sniff the football. It's right around the corner. So let's have a little bit of fun. Yesterday, we had a very intense conversation about Kyle Pitts because those are the only types of conversations that can be had about Kyle Pitts because of how polarizing he is. Sit on this one for a sec, oh. Who's going to be the Falcons MVP this year? There's a couple of obvious answers. There's a couple of dark horse answers. Put your thinking caps on for me, Falcons Nation. We're going to take your calls next segment. Who will be the Falcons team MVP in 2025? Let's start with the obvious answers. Penix, duh. If he goes out there and does what we all think he can do, 18 and a half. No, it's not going to be 18 and a half. If he throws, you know, 26, 27 touchdowns, 12 picks, 4,000 yards, 68% completion percentage, he'll be right there for team MVP. Oh, make no mistake about that. Bijan Robinson, if he has the type of year we think he's going to have, close to 2,000 all-purpose yards, RB1. I asked Bo Johnson, we had him on last night, our fantasy football expert here on the station. He said Bijan is 1-1 this season for him. I mean, hey, that's our fantasy football expert. That's not me. So is it going to be Bijan Robinson? I think Drake London could be another category. If he goes for, I don't know, 1,250 yards and 10 touchdowns, I think that's what he should be projected to do, right? That could be easy. How about let's think outside the box? What if Caleb McGarry goes the whole season and allows, like, 2 sacks and is just great? Could he be your team MVP? Absolutely he could be. Absolutely he could be. What about on defense? The obvious candidate has been our defensive MVP the last 2 seasons, Jesse Bates. Obviously. Is he going to be the team MVP? With a young kid with fresh legs and good instincts like Xavier Watts floating around, could that key him to do more of what he does? Sneak up on that quarterback and catch that thing? Could Jesse Bates have 6-7 interceptions this year with Xavier Watts helping him out on the back end? Could he be your team MVP? How about a guy like Caden Ellis, who, if you hear him, you could hear the drool dripping from his chin about how badly he wants to go get the quarterback. Caden Ellis has 8-9 sacks this year, maybe leads the team, and also has 100 tackles. He could be your team MVP. And then, how about this guy? What about Rook? What if Rook comes in, and I mean this in the most respectful way possible, it's like we don't miss a beat without Grady. And he comes in and he fills that void instantaneously. So I think there's a lot of guys, and if you, it's somebody I didn't mention, that's why I'm talking to you. 404-726-0929. Hell, what if it's Younghoe Koo? What if Younghoe Koo comes back and wins the job and goes 29 of 30 for field goals on the season? We know he can do it. He was averaging 90% before this disaster. He was the best kicker in the league outside of Justin Tucker. So you tell me, let's have a little fun on a Friday. 404-726-0929. Who is going to be the Atlanta Falcons MVP in 2025? I think there's a lot of guys on both sides of the ball that you can make the case for. Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. is the easy answer, but what if that's just the best answer as well? There's nothing wrong with that. If you legit think he's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback this year and he's going to lead the team and you know, be top 10 in some statistical categories, then stick up for them. You have a platform at 404-726-0929. Or just like Turtle, dude, we got the best running back in the league. He's going to be the team MVP. Okay, make your case. What if he has 750, 1,800 all-purpose yards this year? I think he can. I think he will. Again, we were mentioning this yesterday. What if he's used a lot out of the backfield? Because I think he will be. Let's say there's a game where Kyle Pitts just doesn't have it. You know who I think your safety valve out of the backfield is going to be? Bijan Robinson. He's going to have a lot of catches this year, especially underneath, and try to bust one from Penix. So again, it's a Friday. It's a summer Friday. Training camp's underway. We're having a little fun. We'll talk some movies coming up a little bit later in the show. Also going to head to Dallas, visit with our buddy RJ Choppy. Is Jerry Jones just out of his mind at this point? I mean, it sort of looks like it and sounds like it. And I just believe that Micah could trip on a fencing pole and split his big toe in half, and therefore I shouldn't pay him his money. Or is he onto something by being Mr. Frugal here? Also, I mean, it's a side note at this point, but Oren, the Braves are playing the Rangers, so we did talk about that a little bit during the interview. I mean, heck, it is happening. Jesse Chavez retired. Salute to him. And his seven stints with the Braves. So we chopped all that up and more. But next, we're taking your calls. 404-726-0929. Give me your team MVP for the Falcons this season and why. 404-726-0929. Is it somebody that I named? Is it somebody that I forgot? Want to hear from you. 404-726-0929. Your calls are coming up next. Just getting started with you on a Friday with Turtle. Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Take us with you anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Poll is up at CT Tonight, 929, at CT Tonight, 929. That's where you can go and vote. And also make sure you give the page a follow. If you have not already, that is our new show Twitter page where everything show related is housed. Again, it is at CT Tonight, 929. Question simple. The Falcons team MVP will be blank this season. I gave you three choices because you can only do four. So I gave you three of what I think are the most obvious choices. And then the fourth spot says other, comment below. So if you don't see the guy that you think is going to be the team MVP, just comment on the post and let me know. Bijan Robinson right now is leading the way, 55.6%. Michael Penix Jr., 33.3%. Jesse Bates, 3.7%. And other, 7.4%. Kevin chimes in and says, if it's not Penix, the Falcons are in trouble. I got another comment that said it'll be Michael Penix Jr. and his 18.5 touchdowns. Y'all are funny. 18.5. Come on, man. 18.5. Really? But I want to hear what you guys have to say. Again, those are the obvious ones. Bijan, Penix, Jesse. Those have been the best players on the team. What about some outside candidate guys? I mentioned Caleb McGarry. He has a big assignment this year. What if he goes into the season and only allows one or two sacks the entire year? You can obviously make an argument then that he's going to be your team MVP. What about one of the rookies, Xavier Watts? What if he's flying around and allows Jesse Bates to have six, seven picks this year? He could easily be your team MVP. How about a really outside the gates one? How about Younghoe Koo? What if he wins the starter's job back and bounces back and goes 29-30 from field goals on the season? Would you be shocked? No. He was one of the best kickers in the league before last year. So what do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Give me your Falcons team MVP for 2025. We'll start with Michael. Michael, you're up first. What do you think? Michael, go ahead.
To me?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is what I think. I believe that if is the biggest word there is in the language. I heard you use if. I believe the Falcons are going to do what Atlanta does. They're going to choke, and I believe Kirk Cousins is going to be the number one player for the Falcons.
Okay. Wow. It's a Oren, let me just paint a picture real quick.
Boo this man!
Boo! Michael, let me paint a picture real quick, Oren. 6:25 on a gorgeous Friday evening in the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia. And I am honored, Michael, that you are spending part of your evening listening to me. I can't thank you enough. However, if you're going to call my show on a gorgeous Friday evening in the A during the summer when all is good and the whole world's ahead of you, and that's your take on the Falcons as we're trying to be positive before the season, Oren, I can't help you. Like, there's nothing I can do to help that. That's beyond repair. That's damaged goods. That's something, Michael, that is just internally inside of you that I don't know if it can be helped at this point. If you think Kirk Cousins is going to be the team MVP for the Falcons, and listen, Oren, here's the thing, too. He wasn't trolling. I'm good at sniffing out the trolls. That was his genuine opinion on the state of the Falcons right now. Michael, I feel bad for you, man. I really do. Let's see what Marcus thinks. Marcus, who's your team MVP for the Falcons in 2025?
Yep. Sorry, had to troll Michael a little bit because Kirk Cousins is dead to me as well as the rest of Falcons Nation. How about Jalen frickin' Walker, that dog that we drafted in the first round?
Love it. Going outside the box. Absolutely, man. Appreciate the call. 404-726-0929. Listen, we know the plan. He's going to start off the season playing edge. Once he gets more comfortable, they're going to start switching him around a little bit. So if you talk about a guy that could be team MVP because of his versatility and what he brings to the defense, Marcus, you're 100% right. Jalen Walker, rookie coming in. Can he be a dominant force as the number 15 overall pick? I think he absolutely can. And he has as much help around him as the Falcons defense has had in many years. You have guys on every level that are going to be able to provide a cushion for him so that even though he was a top 15 pick in the draft, he doesn't need to come in and anchor too much of the load by himself. 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. Brian's up next. Brian, what do you think? Who's your team MVP?
Oh, man. First of all, long-time listener, first-time caller. What a great question. And more than that, what great listeners you have. You have such an audience that is so effing smart. And I identify with you. I'm a transplant from up north there. Can identify with a lot with what you share with the audience. But
sure.
Again, great question, but the callers are so great. It's not who is going to be the team MVP more for the offensive side. Because when Atlanta does good, which they will, they have no choice but to do good. I believe it's going to come from the reflection of the defensive side. So who is going to be that defensive anchor or MVP? Yo, Turtle, all day long, mad love. I'm gonna sign off. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, man. Yeah, 404-726-0929. Thanks for the kind words. There's a lot of options. Again, could it be a guy like Rook, a second-round pick that, remember, guys, you traded up to get him. The Falcons have the utmost belief in this guy. He's going to play a major role this season. Could he come in and not replace, but be the reinforcement needed for the departure of Grady Jarrett? You can't replace Grady Jarrett in 1 year. It's not possible for everything he meant to the franchise. But on the field, production-wise, can he get that done? I think it's definitely possible. Again, Caden Ellis, if you heard him at the beginning of his press conference the other day, he was like, yo, I want to sack the quarterback. Like, I want to get back there, and I want to be that guy. It's just I got to do what the defense tells me to do. Could Caden Ellis have 8-9 sacks and close to 100 tackles? Yeah, he absolutely can. And then on the back end, Watts, the rookie, AJ, who had a really good year last year, Jesse Bates, a lot of people to choose from. 404-726-0929. Ron John's up next. Ron John, what do you think?
Hey, good afternoon, my brother Turtle.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I just want to say, I'm from Miami. I've been up here for 13 years, and I've been trying to transition myself to be an Atlanta Falcons fan. But I really think that, like the other caller said before, it has a transition from the defense. Because the defense in itself makes champions. Because if you can't score, you can score by the offense. And I think the other caller previously, I think he was kind of in his feelings. Being that, you know what I mean, you're looking back for the transition of Michael Vick. You follow me?
Yeah, I got
you. From that point on, I think he's still kind of on the edge of the fence, but he don't know which side to do it. But when the quarterback you got right now is going to be a premier player, and I give him at least 2 to 3 years, I'm going to give him. Because, like I told you, I'm from Miami. I'm not a Dolphin fan, and you might throw this whole conversation out the window. I'm a Cowboy fan, but I still respect Atlanta Falcons because I'm here in Georgia, and I want to respect the state that I'm in. That's all I got to say.
No, I appreciate it, Ron John. Listen, I didn't say you only can be a Falcons fan to vote. No, I am a transplant. So who am I to say that transplants can't vote on this question today? Of course, I always accept everybody calling in, Ron John. You don't have to give me all those qualifiers. Just call in and state your piece, man. It's all good. I get it. There's going to be a lot of people calling in that aren't originally from Atlanta or aren't originally Falcons fans. I wasn't a Falcons fan before I moved here. I'm from New Jersey. I root for the Jets. I'll always root for the Jets. But now I cover the Falcons every single day, and I've grown attached to them too. So it is what it is. Again, my show, you never have to worry about being a certain type of way or feeling a certain type of way to get in on a conversation. Everybody here is always welcome. Just like Larry, who's up next. Larry, what do you think?
Hey, great question. Born here in Atlanta, and I hate to put the heat on him, but I think Leonard Floyd going to do it. He's going to show these boys. I think he's hungry, showing what Georgia did and what Kirby installed him, and he's going to bring this culture, you know. I think at least 11, 12 sacks. He's going to show out. I think that's going to be our secret weapon.
Yeah, Larry, appreciate it, man. That's a good one. 404-726-0929. Vote for Leonard Floyd for team MVP. Interesting. Well, I'll tell you this. If he plays up to the back of his football card, he'll be the best pass rusher we've had here in a long time. So that's a good thought by Larry. That's what I'm talking about. Think outside the box. Caleb McGarry, Younghoe Koo, Leonard Floyd. Could maybe a J.D. Bertrand step up in year two, especially with Troy Anderson going on the pup list to start the season. There's a lot of good, talented pieces to choose from. Bill's up next. Bill, what do you think?
Hey.
What's up, Bill?
I'm thinking way outside the box. The person who's MVP needs to outperform all expectations. That's going to be Albrecht as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's got all the toys now and no excuses.
No, Bill, you're 100% right. I like it. 404-726-0929. Especially, Bill, after what happened last year, right? With Jimmy Lake. If Ulbrich has an average defense this year, it's going to look like a Hall of Fame defense compared to what happened last year. I mean, seriously. I like it, Bill. I like it. Ulbrich all the way. 404-726-0929. Ryan, finish us off. Ryan, who will be the Falcons team MVP?
All right, so he's not going to get it because he's an offensive lineman, but he was on the uptick for the last year and a half. Matthew Bergeron.
No, I like it.
Has got it, and he's going to make Chris Lindstrom-type strides this year. That's the MVP.
Like it. Love it, actually. 404-726-0929. He's a really good player. He just fits in. He just does his job, does his work, and has grown as a player ever since he's gotten here. I like it. Great job on the phones, 404-726-0929. Go vote on the poll if you didn't get through on the phones. The Falcons team MVP will be who this season? Who do you think? I think it could be a lot of different people, y'all. There's a lot of different options to choose from. But obviously, Bijan, Penix, Bates, Those are the obvious guys. Again, great job on the phones. Appreciate everybody checking in at 404-726-0929. Coming up next, Joe Patrick. What did he see yesterday? What does he expect this weekend at Flowery Branch? Don't go anywhere. We're just getting cooking on a Friday. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. I think this is becoming the theme song for Joe Patrick's interviews, and I definitely don't hate it. Dun-na-na, dun-na. It fits the mood of the night. Gorgeous night here in the A, in the great state of Georgia.
I feel like we're the only show that's put very like distinct thought into the song that welcomes in Joe Patrick when he does an appearance.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not doing no boxing match clashing or anything like that, and listing heights and weights, as is done on other shows. We get straight to the business with Joe Patrick.
He doesn't cause trouble with us.
No, we're not.
Doesn't cause,
we're
not, there's no trouble with Joe and you and I on the show.
We're not looking to cause a ruckus. We're looking to get Falcons information and promote his podcast, Joe Patrick on Football. That's all we're here to do. So let's welcome him in on the way. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
This song is the most confrontational or whatever the word is they use for me.
Yeah, that's
over on Andy and Randy.
It's your non-confrontational driving playlist. That's what we pull
from. That's right. That's right.
That's what we do here. All right, Joe, camp is underway. Before we get into the nuts and bolts, just give me a vibe check. What was the sights and sounds yesterday from Flower?
Oh, yeah, no, it's great. I mean, like, first of all, you know, I just kind of get the, you know, the not butterflies, but just, like, I get excited, like, when I go park, you know, and see all the other fans walking next to me with their folding chairs and whatnot, and you see the massive line out in front of the facility. So just, and then obviously they come in and there's a big crowd. See players going over, you know, over to the hill and signing autographs and doing those kinds of things. Didn't have anyone do a Cordero Patterson style, just like leave practice in the middle of drills to go sign autographs from the fans. But maybe that's something only Cordero Patterson ever had the right to do. But no, that was obviously great. You know, you get the quote from Michael Penix saying that we, you know, should be the best offense in the NFL, which that's just like a classic first day of training camp kind of, you know, high vibes comment. So, and it's like, no, I don't know, like, what that comment specifically, like, I don't think anybody actually takes it serious, but everybody likes hearing it, even though they're not taking it seriously, because that's just the kind of thing you kind of want to hear on the first day, and that confidence being exuded from the players. So, yeah, it was a great day overall.
Speaking of Michael Penix Jr., the other thing he said that made national headlines and made sort of the story out of day one about Kyle Pitts was that him walking in unprompted into the room and being like, yeah, you guys see we got Pitts the ball a lot, huh? Yeah, we're going to do a lot more of that. Were you surprised that that sort of picked up steam and became the talking point nationally around day one for Falcons?
You know, I was a little, I don't know, I guess surprised is a word you could use for, like, you know, my feelings of him just kind of uttering that, you know, obviously in front of everybody, but before the press conference had kind of officially started. But it was kind of like a Kyle Pitts day, you know, like he was kind of the headliner of the day. And it started even before the practice where Raheem Morris was speaking about him. And, you know, I think Raheem does a good job of kind of addressing the Kyle Pitts situation head on, where he's like, listen, like everybody is, you know, like wondering how we get this guy back to his rookie year. Like that's always the conversation. Raheem Morris is not shy in avoiding it. And it's true, you know, that's the reason why. And the thing that was interesting about what Raheem said was that they could start to, you know, mix in a little bit more 12 personnel than what we saw last year, where they kind of said this, and, you know, again, and we take this with a grain of salt because we'll see when you know, it comes to the regular season if this actually plays out. Because they were saying last year they wanted to diversify, you know, Zach Robinson's offense from being such 11 personnel focus like he was under Sean McVay, obviously with Sean McVay calling the plays. Turns out they were in as much 11 personnel, or if not more, than Sean McVay was last year. The Falcons had the fewest amount of different personnel, basically groupings of 11 players on the field at a time on offense than any other team in the NFL. But anyway, all this to say is that, you know, there was some talk about Kyle Pitts kind of being split out more as a receiver. You know, Penix also spoke after the practice about, you know, finding good matchups for him and that being key. And if they can do that, then they can get him the football. But we also saw it, you know, during the practice of them, you know, getting in the ball and him doing these things, being split out, also being, you know, playing in line, of course, like he always would, but just like diversifying his game a little bit and, you know, maybe going back to some of the things that are frankly most natural to him, which is kind of just playing as a big, powerful wide receiver, essentially. And he did do like the wide receiver drills and stuff and individual drills. So very interesting first day for Kyle Pitts. And I was willing to say is like, he's going to be back. I'm not there yet, but I do think that this is actually the right track if he is to replicate or get close to what he did his rookie season. I think that what they put on display for him the first day is the way that you get there.
How long did it take after the Fields news for people to start saying Kirk Cousins?
That was funny. That was like going around, you know, the media, like the media all started talking about on the sidelines, like while we're watching practice. And, you know, I was kind of joking. It's like, man, you wonder if his agent, Mike McCartney, has like, you know, a signal in the radio to like tell him middle of practice. But and then, of course, it turns out to like really not be a significant injury. But it was definitely going around. And I got to say, you could almost sense it from the crowd, too, because I know there were people who were in the crowd who I was actually seeing tweet about it on social media while I was down there. So you know that it was kind of buzzing around the place when it happened, which was interesting. That's the first time I can remember where there's been like NFL news that's happening during an NFL practice that could, you know, drastically impact one of the, you know, key players that's currently on the team right now. But, you know, it turns out to be kind of a nothing burger. So we'll see.
A clean cut as we're talking to Joe Patrick on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, our Falcons insider. And make sure you check out his new podcast, Joe Patrick on Football, on the Odyssey app as well. Caleb McGarry, no longer looking as Viking-esque, but equally as large and intimidating with the short haircut and the trim beard. He addressed the media, and he was his usual no-nonsense self, but what did you take away from what he had to say about his first season becoming the blind side for Penix?
He's no nonsense, but he's also like, I just can't, like, I like giggle like while he's talking just because of, he has like a wry sense of humor to him. And, you know, there were major question marks about him, or maybe not major question marks, but there were some question marks, I guess, coming into the camp because nobody had seen him over the course of the offseason. Of course, his absences had been excused by Raheem Morris. There was no fines for any of the Falcons players who missed any time during OTAs or, you know, that's not that they would get fined for that, but for mandatory mini camp, you know, absences or whatnot. And, you know, he's going into the last year of his contract, and the fact that he's now the blindside protector, you know, made me wonder if maybe there was going to, he could potentially leverage that situation to try to see if he could get something, you know, a new contract maybe for himself. He was asked about that situation, and while he's clearly willing to play, and he basically said as much, you know, when he talked to us, he did say, he goes, you know, there's nobody more willing to accept money than I am, or something along those lines, which I thought was just a humorous way to phrase that. But, you know, probably true, of course. You know, and one of the journalists reminded him that he's speaking to journalists. So, you know, we're always willing to take money as well. But, no, I mean, obviously, you know, I think he would like to get something done, but, you know, he clearly has a good rapport with the organization and obviously with his teammates as well. And he seems to, by the way, sounds like he's feeling better than he ever has. He had a off-season arthroscopic surgery, not really surgery, but like arthroscopic procedure on his ankle to get rid of some bone spurs, he said. And he said that his ankle now feels better than any joint has felt in his body for a long time now. So hopefully that can, you know, produce some good play from him.
All right. So you know where I'm going to go with this, Joe. If you put 1 + 1 together, it equals 2. If you put Darnell Mooney leaving practice early yesterday and signing DJ Chark today, you can get some maybe unwarranted worry because we don't know the extent of the injury yet. What is your best sniffing around telling you about what's going on with Mooney and the reason for signing Chark?
Yeah, I mean, I think there could be something up here. I mean, we'll get more clarification on tomorrow. I don't want to kind of speak out of turn before we, you know, actually get some solid confirmation on the situation from Raheem Morris. And I should say that the team is not necessarily required to give, you know, a specific injury information or really any injury information. But I would think that we will hear
something about it. It's going to be a talking point. And I saw the moment happen very clearly. It happened pretty much right in front of me. And like when he came down, I went, ooh, like I winced. Because, and I turned to somebody, I said, you know, it's incredible these football players can just kind of like get up from that. Because if that were me, I would need to be stretchered off. And that's how I winced, because I feel like how I would feel if that were to happen. So I was actually even kind of impressed by the fact that he got up basically after that. You know, he stayed down for a little bit, but then a teammate, you know, reached out his hand, he grabbed it and pulled himself up. He ran back to the area where the players were congregated behind the huddles. And you could see him like kind of putting his arms out. You could see him kind of like trying to do something in the upper body. And you would think that there would be something. If he does have an injury, it might be to like that shoulder area. So I think that's what we're looking out for. But he would certainly, if it is a significant injury and he's going to miss time, I mean, you know, you don't need me to tell you that that's a very big loss for this team, because not only is he productive, but he just adds like the archetype that he is and the speed that he presents to this offense is not so easily replicated.
All right, Joe, I need you to help me with something here a little outside the box. What's going on in MLS with this whole Messi skipping the All-Star game and getting suspended for a match thing? I was doing a little reading. It seems like Zlatan Ibrahimovic did the same thing a couple of years ago, but not a good look for your league when the best player in it is skipping the All-Star game and he's not injured.
No, it's not. And that's why I think that the commissioner, Don Garber, came out today and levied a suspension towards to Lionel Messi and Jordi Alba, who both skipped the All-Star game, to kind of like, you know, put their foot down a little bit. I've been, you know, saying like, you listen, like, you can't make a mockery of, you know, this product essentially that we sell and we put out there. We at least try to pretend like we take seriously. And then of course the Miami owners came out today, Jorge Mas, who's like a big power player in world soccer, and said that it was actually a club decision for them. So the club kind of protecting those players, saying that it was actually their decision. So, you know, they're just saying that to kind of take the, I think, some of the blowback off of the individuals. Having said that, Chris, like, I can't blame them. Like, they're older players. I can't blame the club, certainly, for wanting to hold them out. And, you know, I never know how my feelings on All-Star games kind of reflect the popular sentiment, the mass sentiment, because, you know, I'm in a different role. I'm not really a quote-unquote fan. But, like, I don't know what people are getting out of an MLS All-Star game. Again, they got to sell it. They can sell sponsorships on it and everything and make some money off of it, I'm sure. But it is ultimately an exhibition. And, again, I can't blame any of these guys for wanting to skip it. And it's not like this is the first – like, we've seen this. I feel like in other sports you see guys skip out on this stuff all the time, whether it's the NBA where this has kind of become almost commonplace. Or, you know, in baseball, All-Star games, you might see a guy with a little back injury or something. So yeah, it's just one of those situations. I think the league's going to have to deal with it. I don't think they can really count on these kinds of star players, especially these older ones, wanting to play in this type of games.
Before I let you go, here's what I don't understand about it. To my knowledge, unless something changed, when Messi came to MLS, did he not get a stake in it? Like, isn't he vested into making sure that the product is as good as possible?
You know, that's a good question. You're asking the wrong guy, probably. He did get some sort of ownership. So I believe it's in his club, though, which I guess, like, you could say that is also kind of part of MLS. You know, it is a single entity league. So I'm not exactly sure how all that breaks down. But I know that, like, his contract was kind of unique because it did involved some of this kind of equity stuff, because he's so important to what they're trying to do there in Miami. So yeah, there is that. And so I think that that's why they got to get this sorted out. And it's not really like a really strong players union. It feels like there's some disconnection there between the players union, which and the league. And if they want to continue this type of thing, I think they got to just get people in a room, sit them down, and, you know, talk about the pain points that there are for players and the league, and figure out how they can best resolve the situation.
Joe, appreciate it. As always, we'll check back in on Monday. Camp gets restarted on Tuesday. Looking forward to it.
All right, me too. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is Joe Patrick there, our Falcons insider. Of course, there'll be camps this weekend, but we will be out there as well. Sam and Greg tomorrow from 9 to 1. Sunday, Dylan Matthews and Mike Johnson from 9 to 1. And then our shows during the week are back there on Tuesday at Flowery Branch. So a ton of stuff going on this weekend and next week as well. All right, when we get back, should they just stop it at this point? I don't know. Oren and I will talk about it. And also, five baseball true and false questions. Trade deadline is a hop, skip, and a jump away. And a couple of major pieces are starting to get off the market. What are the Braves going to do? I'm not going to lie. Kind of feels like a whole lot of poop. We'll talk about that next. An hour of the books, three to play. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app.